Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. Do you hear the music in the background? It's our new show for the 2016, our new season. We hope you had a great 2015 going into the 2016 here. And it's January. And you hear the Indiana Jones music in the background. Raiders of the Lost Ark. He did that music because our guest on Flavor Living Radio, they have been they have explored different ideas. Matter of fact, something to do with food. Food innovative districts, villages. That's the trend is village or district. That's what I'm predicting from here on out for 2016 and beyond. Well, we have three guests on. One from Oakland, California, another guest from Washington, D.C., and someone from the Midwest, Worcester, Ohio. Yes, three guests. Both are in food innovative districts. And man, wait till you hear what they're doing there in all those locations. So that's what we had to have the music, the Indiana Jones music in the background, you know, just explore it. On our first show for 2016 here on Flavor Living Radio. So enjoy, sit back, listen to the music as we start our season. We're going to have some surprises too for the new year. I've been kind of in the lab, quietly working in the lab, still working in the lab. So we have something happening soon. I can't tell you guys about that, but it's going to be happening with myself and other radio hosts and more. I almost said it. So just wait till we're just, you know, kind of putting the blueprints together. But here on Flavor Living Radio, we have our show today, and we got to bring you what we have with the food innovative districts here on the floor.
Somewhere along the line, cell phone plans got a bit weird. Customers actually get penalized for using more. Unlimited mostly means paying for stuff you don't need. If you want help, it's hiding behind a phone tree. Ting is changing that. Use as much or as little as you want. Pay a fair price for whatever you use. Give us a call and a real person will pick up and help you out. Lower your phone bills? Love your phone company. Go to youtube.ting.com and get a $25 credit today.
All right, we're back here on Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant, your host, broadcasting from Hampton Roads, home of the Seven Cities. That's right. But we're broadcasting today about food innovative districts. And I want to make sure I say this today. Today is Martin Luther King's holiday for everybody. Everybody's having a day off on Monday and for the week, and just want to pay homage to this day. And what a great man and innovative for the freedom for everybody. And he looked out for all people from all. He wanted this freedom for everybody. But our show today is about food innovative districts. We're going to go to Ohio, Worcester, Ohio, and we're going to talk to Jessica Eichelberry. Yes. And she tells us about a district called the Local Roots. And we're just going to go ahead right into our show because we have a lot to cover today. We want everybody to kind of see what's going on, you know, these ideas that are happening. So without any ado, please welcome Jessica Eichelberry from Worcester, Ohio.
Is that correct?
Eichelberry.
Eichelberry. Jessica Eichelberry. How's it going? Welcome to Flavor Living Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Wow. How's it going there in Ohio? You were just talking about the snow a few minutes ago. It just snowed there.
Yep, we got pretty good snow last night with, I think, 3 inches or so. So it's cold and windy and today.
Ah, you know, so Worcester, Ohio, that's the north part of Ohio?
We're north central or northeast area. We're about 60 miles south from Cleveland.
Oh, wow. You know, when I was in school, I got a chance to intern at CNN Sports.
Oh,
and
okay.
there was a reporter there named Vince Cellini, and he's from Worcester, Ohio.
Oh, that's funny. I do not know him.
Yeah. You guys got a lot of famous people there. I was looking at the Wikipedia. I was like, that's Vince Cellini right there. <You know? laughs> Wow. So what are you guys doing over there? You guys are doing a lot of things going on in Worcester. So tell us about the local roots.
Okay. Local roots is Local Roots Market and Cafe is what we're called, which kind of is self-describing. The thing that's really special about it is all of the food that we have in the market and that we use as ingredients in the cafe is local. And we define local as made or grown or somehow processed or value added in Ohio. And so the majority of our products, especially like the fresh fruits and vegetables, are coming from about 30 miles, even though we say all of Ohio is local.
You were talking about it's local, local farm foods, even 30 miles away, they're from Worcester.
Well, they're not everything is from Worcester. Most things are from Ohio. That's what we go with as local. But all of the, it's kind of, people describe it as when you walk in, it's kind of like walking into a little grocery store. But it's also, in a way, it's an indoor farmer's market, but without the farmers being there. So all of the foods are segregated by farm. So there's not just like one bin of tomatoes. There's, you know, the tomatoes and the, you know, potatoes and onions all from one farm. And
wow.
Then you go to the next stand over and there'll be the lettuce and the kale and the Brussels sprouts all from another farm. But it's all set up by farm. Everything is identified by the farm, so that you can trace back how, you know, where your food came from. There are signs there saying whether it's grown without sprays or pesticides or whether it's certified organic or not. And we just really encourage the farms to decorate and put up information about themselves and their farms. So you really, it's kind of like walking around the farmer's market, but without the farmers being there. And the nice part is you can shop from, we have about 150 products from different producers and farmers in the store at all times. So you can shop from every one of those if you want and pay at checkout with just your credit card, just one swipe, just like what you're used to in a grocery store.
Well, so it's basically, you know, like you said, a grocery store, but really good produce, good everything from everywhere.
Right, all local and seasonal. And despite the 3 inches of snow we have here today, we have lettuce and cabbage and kale and Brussels sprouts, potatoes, squash. I know even yesterday there were a few tomatoes left. all of those things are still happening in Ohio in the winter and the snow.
Well, you know, I was on the, as far as the Innovative District, you had a committee there called the Steering Committee members in 2009.
Yes.
How did that start? The beginning of the process?
It really, you know, back at that time, 2008, 2009, local
mm-hmm.
food was just becoming really big. And, you know, it was Michael Pollan's books were out, Food Inc. was just coming out. You know, there were a lot of people talking about the food system. And what happened in Worcester is that there were actually several different groups working on, you know, things have to be easier. It has to be easier to buy and sell local food if you ever want it to be able to compete, if you ever want it to be able to grow and become bigger than just the farmer's market and more
right.
of a part of people's everyday lives. And what happened in 2009 was, you know, kind of just by luck and fate, the group of us that became the steering committee got together and really just started to work on this problem and quit saying, you know, well, it would be nice or somebody should do that. And we just started saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to make it happen. And so that was really, you know, what happened with it. We just started working through it and says, Worcester needs to do it now. And, you know, it was the right time in our lives and it was the right time in the world to be able to put some time toward this. And we did it as volunteers. You know, there's still, Local Roots is still run by volunteers primarily.
Right.
It's a community effort. So,
I mean, just the fact of the mission that you have, this, the accessible of, I know when I go to my local store here, we have, you know, in our area, we have Farm Fresh, but it's cool to see that if we had another grocery store where you can feel like, hey, this is from Farmer Jack or Farmer Nicholson or Mary's
right.
Farm. It's, you know, you feel that just the feeling of that walking in the grocery store would be pretty neat.
Well, it's really nice because we do have a really well-attended and well-established farmer's market in Worcester, but that only happens 4 months out of the year. And so the majority of those farms who are selling at the farmer's market sell with us all year long. So it's
okay.
Nice for them to be able to keep that connection. And, you know, you meet them in the farmer's market, you can go and get to know them and then find their products with us all year long or all week long. You know, the farmer's market's only on Saturday. You know, what happens if you run out of bread on Wednesday? You know, you need to be able to buy it somewhere. And it's nice just to have that connection. And for most farms and most producers, we're a second, third, fourth outlet. But the nice part is it's a very it's a low effort outlet. They come, they drop off their products with us, they label them, and they walk away. And they get paid 75% to 82% of every dollar goes back to the producer. So that's how we operate, is we keep a very low commission. We try to send as much money back to the people who made the product as possible, and that in turn keeps the cost low for the consumer.
I guess I wanted to come from like two areas, like from the producer. Is there a charge? You know what I mean? Like if anyone, you know, today's theme is innovative food districts. So I know many people want to know how to do this. How would there be a charge for the farmer or the producer?
What we do is we offer an annual membership. Producers, we're a cooperative for one. We're a producer-consumer cooperative is actually how we're structured. And we offer an annual membership. Producers have to be members.
Jessica was like, hey, Brian, we're cooperative. I just want to get that straight. We're cooperative.
We're cooperative.
You was like, you made a point to make sure you got that right.
Well, if not, the membership makes no sense, you know. That's how we do it. So producers have to be a member. It's $50 a year, and then we can keep a commission on their sales.
So
we want it to be a low barrier to entry, so it's not prohibitive to small farms or, you know, we really cater to the smallest producers, you know, people with a couple extra chickens.
I heard through the grapevine, no pun intended, because I know there's a magazine there called Worcester Grapevine. I heard it's a grapevine. But there's a 10, you can volunteer there, you said 10 hours for the year, right? A producer, a farmer?
Or anyone. And, you know, like I said, in order to sell, you have to have your membership. So you're 10 hours in.
Okay.
But then, you know, we have that open to anyone. And for the people who are volunteering not to be producers, most of them, you know, we say 10 hours, but there are people who come in and, you know, they do, you know, maybe 10 hours
beyond that,
way beyond that, because it's part of their mission, it's part of their community, and it's a place for them to be and take ownership. And I mean, everybody from, you know, retired people and stay-at-home parents and kids. I mean, we have, you know, great kids from junior high, you know, up that come in and and do everything that needs to be done that keeps the store running. We do have a couple of managers that, you know, handle and keep the wheels on, but then everything else is done by volunteers.
you gotta have that person to make sure everything's cool, it's going right,
right.
You know,
but it's without the community we wouldn't be able to do it, at least not for the cost, you know, because that's all of that volunteerism and the membership keep our costs low, and that helps the producers to be able to sell for a reasonable price and still take the money home that they need to make it worth their while to grow fabulous products.
Okay, we got to go back to talk to Jessica in Ohio about local roots.
Yeah, we do have a lot of people that come from, you know, the region, and, you know, we've had people who have come and visited from around the country and around the world just to see the shop. But it's really what the interesting thing, what makes Worcester a perfect spot for it, is this is where the food was being grown. And when we were looking at getting into local food and what local food needed, we realized all the food that's being grown here is being shipped to Cleveland. So they're like, the food that's being grown down the street from my house is then going to Cleveland, and I'm having to drive to Cleveland to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, why shouldn't we have this right here in this area and work on feeding ourselves? You know, there's still, our farmers still go to Cleveland and they do the farmer's market. So they sell, you know, to different outlets, but, you know, why not be able to have it in our community too, where this is where it's being grown? You should be able to find that type of food here. We're
yes,
country.
Yes. You're like, hey, Cleveland can have the good food, but that's our food. Right, we have to have our food.
If I'm driving to Cleveland to buy the food from the person down the street from my house, that is not sustainable.
Right.
It should be happening here.
I got you. I saw over 150 different types of farmers, vendors listed there from A to Z. It was a lot of people involved, which is awesome. That's just, wow, this everybody is doing their specialty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
there's a lot of great things happening.
I have a small list here, like maybe four or five, and you can tell, mm-hmm. could you tell us, like, I saw, I know this is self-explanatory, Anne's Raspberry, I saw that.
Right.
Bearded Perch?
Bearded Booch Kombucha.
Yeah, kombucha. That's it, kombucha. Yes. Kombucha. Yes, this tea is really trendy.
Yes, kombucha. And they're super delicious and healthy, too.
Yes.
And he's actually from Cleveland and brings it down to sell with us.
No way.
Yeah.
So instead of, isn't that funny how ironic, he's coming to Cleveland down to you guys.
Right. Here, we built this store to try to keep the food local, but it's great. I mean, they have a great kitchen up in Cleveland where they help a lot of businesses like Bearded Boots and other ones get going. And some great products. It's really brought a new dynamic to Worcester to be able to have that available.
Yeah, I like the name Wootown Bagels. That's a good name right there.
That's great, and he actually makes those bagels right in our own kitchen. In addition to having the market and the cafe, we have a commercial kitchen on site. And so it's got, you know, some basic equipment, a 10-burner stove, you know, a bunch of tables, so that we can allow producers, like Wootown Bagels, he was making those bagels in his house, and he started to get too big and start to get larger orders. So he moved into our kitchen so he could ramp
up. Did everybody hear that? It was... So this is a theme of our, you know, with our different districts and villages, and the theme is commercial license kitchen. Can you explain that, the commercial license kitchen?
What it is it's a commercial processing kitchen that's been licensed, so anything that's made in our kitchen can be sold all over the state, all over the country. And that's what it's made for, with the equipment so that producers can produce larger batches and, you know, be able to build their business more than, you know, at least in Ohio, there's only certain foods that you can make at home and sell. Mm-hmm. And anytime you want to make something different, you need a commercial kitchen. Like, for instance, you can pick carrots out of the ground and sell them. If you want to cut them into carrot sticks, they need to be done in a commercial kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so by having a commercial kitchen on site, we open up that avenue for producers to be able to value add products, make new products, or in the case of like Wootown Bagels, expand what they can do. You know, there's only so much you can do at home in your own oven and with your own mixer,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then you can move into our space with a larger equipment and be able to fulfill more orders and grow your business.
Well, man, thank you for being on show, Local Roots. Jessica?
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You know, for being on our show and everything. And you know, was there anything, would you like to, how can they can reach you guys? Because I know more people want to know more. If they wanted to start one, like here in Hampton Roads or in North Dakota or California, how could they reach you?
Yeah, we've actually helped several different areas start similar stores to ours based on the same model, which is basically local products sold direct from the producer to the consumer on consignment. You know, that's kind of our trick. But anybody can just go to the website. You can read a lot more about us. You could email just info@localrootsworcester.com. And, I think, you know, the world needs 1,000 more local roots. And
oh, my gosh, a lot of – what's your favorite foods that you're getting there? Now, you know, like that you used to get in Cleveland and now you're getting at home. What was your – you're like, I can't believe I'm getting this now at home. What was your item?
I know. It's everything. It's just changed the way – it is because it's changed the way I eat where I don't – you know, it's not just, oh, I ate, you know, chicken and potatoes. It said, oh, you know, I'm having – you know, one of Martha's chickens with Marion's potatoes. And, you know, it's just you really having that connection back to your food. And the eggs are, you know, probably one of those things that I eat that are just so beautiful and wonderful. And mm-hmm. you never have to worry about an egg recall.
yeah, that's true. You know, if you have to, you can just call the farm guy.
Right. You can meet them at any day. You could be in the store and look over, and the farmer could be right next to you. And
right, and you say, "Hey, man, those eggs were like really they were on last week. They were cool, or you know, or the Brussels sprouts, or you know, the carrots, or I mean, is it the certain seasons things are in, right? Certain items are in, and
right.
certain items. So that's how it goes, right? Of course,
right. And that's one of the best things is enjoying things when you have them. You know, when it's strawberry season, the strawberries are amazing, and you eat as many as you can, and you freeze them, and then they're gone. And you wait, you know, because when you have them, it's so good. It's you know, really learning to enjoy something and enjoy the season. Mm. And then, you know, this time of year, waiting.
I think I'm going to move to Worcester. Yes, I think I'm moving to Worcester. I'm going
to
move there. Did you guys?
I hope you come and visit us.
Yes.
I'll buy you lunch.
Okay, that's fair. All right, that's fair. Well, thank you, Jessica, for being on Flavor Living Radio and telling us about this cool idea, the Food Innovative District.
Welcome back here on the Flavor Living Radio. I was wondering, is there another location where this could be happening? The Food Innovative District. Let me see. Ah, Washington, D.C. Yes. We're going to talk with, we heard of an idea called the Union Kitchen. And we're going to talk with Mary Beth from the Union Kitchen. Let's go see what happens.
The Flavor, her name is Mary Beth. Welcome to Flavor Living Radio.
Thank you. So it's a pleasure to be here.
I mean, how's it going in D.C.? I know they just had the State of the Union last night there, and I know there's a lot of buzzing going on there.
It's always remarkable how calm the city remains on an evening like that. The nation kind of turns their eyes, and it's just another day in the district. So.
Yes. Gotcha. Understood. All right. Well, you know, you are a part of the Union Kitchen there, and you're the director of marketing and partnership there. For anybody who wants to know, this is an awesome idea about Union Kitchen. Can you kind of how it all started with the co-owners back in 2012 about Jonah Singer and Cullen Gilchrist? How it started in 2012?
Absolutely. So our co-founders, Jonah Singer and Cullen Gilchrist, as you mentioned, were entrepreneurs who opened a pop-up cafe. They actually opened a coffee shop in an existing bar. So they were providing breakfast sandwiches and lunch while the bar was not operating, and then the bar would operate in the evening. So it was a unique concept in itself, kind of a pop-up coffee shop.
Blind Dog Cafe, I saw.
That was Blind Dog Cafe. And one of the things that Blind Dog Cafe served were kind of city-renowned chocolate chip cookies. So very soon, the demand for the cookies led them to need additional kitchen space. And so they began looking for commercial kitchen space to rent or to tap into, and really found that there was nothing like it anywhere in the city. And so they went to a handful of friends and folks in the industry and realized there was quite a demand for this type of shared co-working space. And that was really how Union Kitchen began, out of necessity. So we opened our first production facility in the Noma neighborhood, just north of Union Station.
Okay.
And began to fill it with food-based businesses. The kitchen we found was being utilized as a commissary by a restaurant group, and it was certainly more than enough room to make chocolate chip cookies. So the excess capacity was then rented out to other member businesses who were beginning their operations and or businesses that were looking to come into the D.C. market.
Well, anybody who knows if they've gone to D.C., Union Station is the major train station there, right?
Exactly, yes. It's a main transportation hub, and the Noma neighborhood is actually experiencing quite a revitalization in itself. And so it was an underutilized resource that we saw value in and were able to really begin to build the business upon.
How did you run into Union Kitchen yourself, Beth?
Sure. So, So I was attending a networking event where Jonas was speaking and told the story of Union Kitchen and how all of the support services were offered to small business owners, that it was really helping to lower the barriers to entry, especially in an industry with such low margins, which the food industry certainly is. And I was really intrigued by not only the membership model that builds such a strong sense of community and collaboration, but also all of the other business lines that had spun out of the original concept of the shared kitchen space. And so looking at the distribution company that takes the products then to all of the national and local retailers, to the catering company that has the members producing food for events all over the city, to the support that we provide in marketing and branding and finance, and now to our soon-to-launch co-packing operation, where we're actually going to be helping to produce food of the members in contract manufacturing, which is a very exciting step for us.
I just thought, wow! It's almost like, it's almost like this is your first day working with them. The passion that you have on the, you know, on our show is like it's your first day.
Thanks. I thought hopefully I know more than I did on my first day, but yeah, it's a great operation, and it really, in working with over 150 businesses since we opened in December of 2012. It's really been remarkable to see the growth of these businesses. And we estimate that we're generating about $35 million in annual revenue from not only the operations of the kitchen, but all of the operations of our members collectively.
What I thought was really fascinating, because as we're talking today about the food district, I thought it was fascinating about your membership, how it works out. Could you tell everybody about the different levels of membership? As I saw it, you had the associate member and the night and weekend membership.
Because,
you know, a lot of people, this is like new for their area, and I thought they would like to have this in there. I know Hampton Roads would like, you know, I know we would. I can't speak, but I think it would be great if we had it and many other places have it, you know.
Well, on that note, we actually have a consulting arm to our business where not only are we providing support to members as they grow and scale their businesses, but we're also working with institutions and individuals all across the globe who are beginning to launch their own incubator model. So it's not uncommon for us to hear kind of that similar sentiment that they would, folks would like to bring the Union Kitchen model to their community. And so we're working with individuals in Louisville, in Baltimore, and in Dublin, as well as London.
Charlotte, North Carolina, I saw.
Charlotte, North Carolina, yes. And a number of other conversations and markets that we hope to see online before the end of the year. So that concept is very exciting for us to see that our membership model and really the membership model that is unique to Union Kitchen is desirable and looking to be replicated. But to mention, to go back to your question regarding membership, we are like a gym membership. Many commercial kitchens rent by the hour, and so individuals come in, they do their work, they leave, and there's really no sense of accountability or community. So we have structured the monthly membership whereby members can come in either nights and weekends from 6 p.m. to 7 a.m. And or full-time membership, which enable them 24/7 access to the kitchen of all of our shared resources. Or we have what we call pod kitchens, which are basically dedicated space within the commercial kitchen for growing businesses to set up their operations and basically enable them to establish a brick-and-mortar location without all the overhead of a brick-and-mortar.
Wow. So let's say if I was starting, a vegetarian restaurant. I want to start a vegetarian restaurant, and I would come in, and you would provide some space for our remote kitchen, kind of like?
Yes. So the way that we are finding ourselves working with restaurants and restaurateurs is really in menu creation and menu concept testing. So we've had a number of restaurateurs come in and into the kitchen for a half of year or 9 months to really work on developing their concepts and tapping into the kitchen community. But we really work with a variety of companies, from food trucks to packaged goods to caterers. It really runs the gamut as far as the type of food company that is operating out of our space. And we do have, in fact, a number of companies that have brick-and-mortar locations but are continuing to use the kitchen as essentially their commissary kitchens, just given all of the benefits that membership does provide.
All right, welcome here, right here on The Flavor. You know, I heard there's a choir in Oakland. This was the choir one just heard. They didn't know the translation of the language, but they still sounded good. And I had to play that. I was like, that's from, you know, on today's show, after, you know, we're talking to the Union Kitchen, we may go to West Oakland, California. Yes, that was a choir from Oakland, California. But we have to talk to the Union Kitchen and talk to Mary Beth about this innovative idea that's many people are watching in North Carolina and many other places. Let's go back to Union Kitchen.
I was looking at some of the unique clients that you have that are from Union Kitchen that you've helped develop to really, have they been in the news there locally and nationally and regionally? And I wanted to mention a couple, and you can say, hey, I remember those guys. There was I saw one was called the Talk Korea Food Truck.
Yep, so the team at Talk Korean began as a food truck. They were operating out of the kitchen and have gone on to open a series of brick-and-mortar locations throughout the D.C. metro area. So they are certainly one of one of the storefronts that we count as a real success coming out of the kitchen.
No, I bet you, Mary Beth, when they come to you like, yeah, okay, this is my idea, I want to do this and this, and you're probably just like amazed at the different ideas that come your way. You're like, really? You want to do that? That's great. Is that what happens when you get these different unique ideas that come to you?
It's a pretty amazing place as far as creativity. There's really no lack of entrepreneurial spirit, of hustle, of creativity. It's pretty alive and well throughout the hallways here at the kitchen.
Wow, like Matrix there, like the Matrix. Just how about Ice Cream Jubilee?
Yes. So Victoria again began her operations out of the kitchen. She was a former government employee, and she was working on the side to start her ice cream business and pursue that passion of hers, and was able to take her concept from the kitchen to a storefront down in the Navy Yard neighborhood in D.C., just south of the baseball stadium, and has received certainly wide praise both locally and nationally.
I saw that she delivers ice cream on bicycles there in Washington, D.C. Like, she has bicycle crew.
she also has a few boozy varieties. So there's certainly a way to keep yourself warm in the winter with ice cream.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. What was another one I saw? This one was really good. It has something to do with our veterans. It was called Dog Tag Bakery.
Yes, so Dog Tag Bakery is operating out of Georgetown. They're actually across the street from another member, Chaya, which is farm-to-table tacos. And they came to the kitchen and very quickly opened their brick-and-mortar operation. And, you know, certainly their work with veterans is to be applauded in the work that they're doing.
Well, so they help as far as they donate to the veterans, or they help veterans find work, or
yes, they're a full support. You know, embedded in their business model is really intrinsic to the work that they're doing, is to drive support and awareness to veterans' issues.
Wow! All right, Curbside Cupcakes.
Our friends at Curbside Cupcakes again began as a food truck, and then opened a brick and mortar in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. And are continuing to grow and test different concepts from a cafe model to expanding their delivery and food truck model. So, another confectioner to come out of the kitchen.
Well, I know all of the ideas you've liked. Has there been some that have been real that you've really seen grow? And of course, all. But do you have some unique stories from different entrepreneurs, business that came from Union Kitchen?
Oh, yes. I mean, we are, you know, the hallways are really lined with success stories. And most importantly to us is the fact that the community now, Washington, D.C., is seeing a number of locally owned businesses pop up down streets throughout different neighborhoods. And that's really important to us, that we're helping to build the community that we want to live in. And so as we see various storefronts and brick and mortars open, that really reinforces our ability to shape the culture and to provide local jobs and to support local businesses throughout the city.
I saw about as far as distribution, if a new somebody has an idea, how do you guys, because I saw you guys have partnered up with Whole Foods and just everything. Your distribution is really awesome.
Yes, so we distribute to Whole Foods as well as Yes Organic and Mom's Organic and a number of locally owned storefronts throughout D.C. And what's really important for us is we are able to provide kind of that final mile transportation. So many stores now are looking to provide local products to support local entrepreneurs and local businesses, but just don't have the infrastructure. You know, as you can imagine, with nearly 100 businesses operating and working with the kitchen, a store would have to work with 100 different entrepreneurs and local business owners. And by working with the kitchen, we consolidate all of that. So they get to...
Right.
Place one order with Union Kitchen and then get almost a full section of local goods.
It's filled up.
and it comes on one truck, and it's one purchase order, and they can send their comments and feedback to one centralized contact. So it definitely is helping to get more local products out there in a streamlined fashion.
To somebody that's listening to our show today and they want to start, what advice would you give? You know, they want to start one, you know, kind of a their own union kitchen model from you guys. What advice would you, you know, just starting out, what advice would you give them, you know, if they wanted to start?
I would recommend that they come to Union Kitchen and tap into our consulting services. You know, there really are so many pitfalls that we can help others avoid, you know, mistakes that we have made and lessons we have learned that really help to streamline operations and get people up and running without the pain that we experience. So we are always available. Simple email to info@unionkitchendc.com will connect you to the right people and would love to provide advice and counsel to anybody interested in starting or launching their own incubator.
There you go. Wow. Well, Mary Beth, thank you for being on our show and introducing to Union Kitchen. They are the ambassadors, because I've talked to other innovative districts. You guys are the ambassadors of what's going on, you know.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for your time. And, you know, the other thing I would love to mention is, as those entrepreneurs and or local businesses are looking to expand or increase their presence throughout DC, we are also available through our distribution channels and have availability in both of our locations in the Noma neighborhood, as well as our new 16,000 square foot facility in Ivy City. So again, that info@ will connect people to our team, and would love to point folks in the right direction and to tap into all the work that we're doing.
Now, what's your favorite, like, is there a favorite treat? You're like, I have to have this right here, this cupcake. Or, yeah, you know, is there something favorite that you'd like, that you brought on board as a, you know, help them to grow? Is there something, you know?
It's like asking a grandmother to pick her favorite grandchild. No, we have we have so many businesses, and what's most exciting for me is to really walk the shelves now of our local stores and to pick up a product and know the person behind it and the hands that made it. But more importantly, to see brands really growing and thriving, that we are working with national brands that are coming into DC and utilizing our services. We are seeing companies that perhaps are at that mid-level growth that they really are looking to scale to the regional and national level. And to watch that growth and that trajectory of companies is really quite thrilling.
Wow. I must say, we are grandmothers. We are grandmothers here. Well, thank you. Thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio, Mary Beth, and for just telling us about Union Kitchen there in D.C. You're going to have two of them. You have two. Man, you guys are not messing around. So thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for reaching out.
All right.
Oh, man, let me stop, man. I'm getting carried away here. Wow. All right. Yeah, that song there. Okay. Now, we are going to West Oakland, California, and we have to talk to a great idea called the Mandela Marketplace in Oakland, California, West Oakland, California. And on our show today, we have Mariela Sandino. And here we go to Oakland, California.
Thanks, Brian. I'm doing great. Definitely probably better off weather-wise than you are.
Yes, 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 West Coast. I mean, if we can switch for, you know, this time here, you know.
No, thanks.
You know you want to throw a snowball at me over. Come on, you know you want to throw a snowball. That's a,
for about 4 hours.
Yes. Well, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Everything, and just, wow, what you guys are doing there in West Oakland. Tell us about the Mandela Marketplace. Another great innovative district, but here, but you know, we've talked to different ones. We've talked to some in Ohio, talked to somebody in Ohio and D.C., and now we're on the West Coast.
Awesome. Thanks for having us. And I guess I should start by telling you the story of us.
Yes.
You know,
of Dana Harvey. Dana Harvey, she's the person who's really started it all, right?
Yeah, I would say we always defer. You know, the folks who really started the work here were the community residents.
Gotcha.
Dana was a key piece in, you know, catalyzing some of that. But it really starts with the community. We had, you know, we live, we work in an area that is, you know, both has food insecurity issues as well as economic disinvestment issues. And so in the late 90s, after a lot of assessments were happening in generally in Alameda County, and some of the community residents were sort of like, you know, we keep hearing the same things. Like, we know we're a food insecure community. We know we have an overabundance of food that's bad for us. We also know what our economic condition is, and we want to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a group of residents and Dana, who eventually became the executive director of Mandela Marketplace, who decided to sit together and really plan to come up with ideas that were more solutions-oriented rather than just sort of rehashing the issues. So they came up with a plan that had a few prongs. And the idea was to create a local food system that also built the economy of West Oakland. And one of the ways that that was anchored in West Oakland was through a grocery store. That was sort of the first thing that they came up with was, you know, we want to support farmers. We want to increase access to healthy food. We want to have more farmers markets, more produce stands, all those things.
Okay.
But the thing that we really feel anchors all the work is going to be a community-owned grocery store. So as a nonprofit, that was sort of our first launch into action, was sitting down with community residents to figure out, okay, you've got the solution. How do we resource it? How do we plan for it? How do we make it happen?
Okay.
And so that took a few years, and then in 2009, the Mandela Foods Cooperative opened, which is an independently owned, for-profit worker-owned retail grocery store here in West Oakland, and it's actually the only full-service grocery store in West Oakland.
You know, I was thinking, out of listening to the different districts, yours really cater to farmers, really the needs of the farmers. And I just thought that was so, not only the needs of the farmers, they were like rural farmers, urban farmers, just all type of farmers who've had different type of, they've gone through many different trials and errors to get their food out.
Yeah, that's, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I think that's sort of the other side of our food chain, of the sort of food system that the community's built throughout the years, is the farmers. And it's actually interesting, when folks were first at the table around that, that was one of the things that they brought themselves. They sort of saw farmers as another under-resourced, disinvested community, and so they wanted to figure out, well, if we're building this local economy here, how does that also affect the local economy there? So a lot of our work is connecting local under-resourced small and medium farmers to urban centers by buying produce, and then also additionally providing some financing when needed, looking at TA opportunities, technical assistance opportunities, that sort of thing. But that definitely is a huge anchor of our work also, is how do we get, you know, this great food that's grown all around us to Oakland, that is, you know, to West Oakland and other areas also that don't have access to this good food, and how do we build an economy around that?
Yeah, I just thought that was really neat. You know, and I was looking at your board of members and staff, and most of you guys are very much have like, you guys have your master's degree in food or in the food industry, or very high, you know, as far as, you know, went to school for this type of work.
Yeah, Dana, actually, our executive director is a soil science masters.
Yes.
Which is such a, I always like forget about that until we're talking about, you know, soil erosion or something.
Right, and then she steps in there and is like,
yeah. I'm like, why do you know this stuff, you know? Because she's totally into it. And it's actually how she came about the work, to speak for her a little bit, is that she came at it from an environmental justice angle, and sort of seeing how environmental justice and food systems and economy all tied in together. So she has a really interesting angle on that. And from my end, you know, I came in, a few years down the road when things had already started, but, you know, my sort of draw to it was really the how do we build local economies that are self-sustaining and where all the revenue is staying in the area that should be benefiting from those industries. So we have a good mix of folks here.
Could you, because I saw a picture, I was on your website and I heard about it from listening. Can you talk about the community produce stand?
Yeah.
That is so, what a picture I saw. And,
yeah, aren't they great? I actually love
them. Oh, yeah, that was like really.
They're my favorite.
Yeah.
It's like the, like, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, so we have these businesses, and that's part of our work, like the Mandela Foods Cooperative and Mandela Foods Distribution and Zella Soulful Kitchen and some of the other things that I've mentioned to you. The other part of our work is largely focused on food access, which obviously businesses play a part in that, but just strictly food access.
Yes.
And two of the things that fall under that are our healthy retail, which where we work with corner stores, and the other part is produce stands. So it's our way to sort of increase access, obviously, to healthy food. And we do that by partnering with sites that have really targeted communities. And then we run weekly produce stands. So right now our produce stands are at a senior center here in Oakland,
okay.
at the West Oakland Health Center, which is about two blocks from us, at an elementary school.
Right.
Called Cesar Chavez. And then we have a monthly one in Castlemont, at Castlemont High School, which is actually in East Oakland. And we're currently in the works of having one launch at a hospital, actually.
No way.
Yeah, which is really cool, and they came to us, and it's been a really awesome partnership. But they're sort of my favorite kids, where you get to really like see people come and buy produce. It's such like a direct feel good situation, you know. But it's also where I think out of the staff like community facing piece, where people get sort of the most immediate feedback and like a lot of really good conversations. Like I
yes.
love going to the senior center one because one. Folks there have just like this amazing history, like the things that they've done with their lives are great, and they will sit there and tell you about it.
Yes.
They'll also tell you about recipes and like why they're making that. Like it's like a constant education for me. Like yes, I'm there and I'm, you know, seeing how things are going and that sort of thing, but I'm like getting way more out of it. In fact, we just had a celebration. I think the end of last year was our 10-year celebration of being at the North Oakland Senior Center.
Yes.
And they had, you know, they led Tai Chi, and they had sort of like a Zumba thing, and they had like all this stuff going on. And it was such a great event because it was this really great example of like how this produce stand really built with the community of the senior center. Like they really own it. Like we go and we bring the produce and we sell it. But in the end, they're really sort of the ones who are owning the actual stand. And they made it their own for sure.
But they're like, hey, we're going to give you something back too.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
at equal or more value to, you know,
yeah.
with our
they're
history.
Seriously,
yeah.
They're just the best because the senior center is that is my favorite. I mean, the little kids at the schools are obviously fantastic. But the senior center are just like so opinionated and like just step in to do stuff. And it's just like a really great space to be in.
Well, what I was looking at it here, you know, because a lot of people, they're going, you know, in our area, we have lots of 7-Elevens,
mm-hmm.
you know. So most of the, in here in Virginia are 7-Elevens, and a lot of people are going in there to buy their items or to buy their items, but there's no local stand there. You know, they have a little bit of fruit, but I thought it was really good for the people to have, you know, just for the people going to convenience stores every other day.
Yeah.
To have that. That was just so awesome, you know?
Yeah. And in fact, you know, again, that was another thing that came out of the community.
Man, I wanted to talk more. There's so much more to learn about from the Mandela Marketplace in West Oakland, California. Please look, you know, look up their websites. Contact everybody, Mariella and those guys in West Oakland, California. We want to thank Mary Beth from Union Kitchen in Washington, D.C., and Jessica from Worcester, Ohio, from the local roots. I mean, all these guys are really the food innovative districts. All three are just changing what's happening and helping us out for diabetes, access to great food, helping farmers. So we had to have them on Flavor Living Radio. We hope you stay tuned and listen for more next week on our show. Drive safe and eat well and listen and have a great week here on The Flavor.
Restaurants and recipes with events.